In today's episode, we discuss 7 reasons why your church needs to keep doing online services. We hope this conversation helps your church reach more people and grow. This is the Reach Right Podcast. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right Podcast, episode number 49. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Ian Hyatt.
Oh, I beat you to it. Ian Hyatt, I'm just so used to saying that. Here I am. Hey.
There he is. Got a good topic today, Ian. We're going to be talking about 7 reasons why your church should keep doing online services. We think it's important for churches to keep doing them, and we have 7 reasons why we think that's the case. Full disclosure, my church has to keep doing online services because we still can't meet in person. That's the way things are here.
But you're a rarity right now. I would say,
you talk to a lot of churches. Are you still talking to some that aren't meeting at all in person?
I'd say in the last few weeks, about 90% are in person.
Yeah, I would think so.
And then there's still a small handful that are waiting, but 90%. So that's why I say you're a rarity.
For us, it's not necessarily a legal issue. We're not under a mandate to not meet. There are churches meeting at partial capacity here in Hawaii. But if you know anything about the evangelical church landscape here in Hawaii, property has been so expensive here for so long that churches for decades have been meeting mostly in schools here. Our church, medium-sized church, and it meets in schools, and we have been kicked out of our school for over a year at this point. We have occasional Friday night services at a sister church of ours that we're able to meet there. But yeah, having regular Sunday morning services has not been able to happen. We expect and look forward to getting back to having Sunday morning options. But even when we do, I suspect that we'll continue our online service system that we've been doing here. And so it's been really good, I think, for our church. It's not for everybody. I know, I don't know what your thoughts are, but I certainly miss online or in-person services at my church. I'm sure you preferred in-person over online. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. And we've talked about that before, of course. But yeah, absolutely, Thomas. I definitely am old school that way. I guess if you want to call it that way, I prefer in-person services. And as you know, we've been back in person for a while now at our church, we have the luxury of owning our own building and all of that. And don't have the same challenge there. I prefer the Assembly of the Saints in person.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So I personally prefer that. But I will say that I'm warming to the idea that it could be acceptable that other people don't prefer that. And there may be, and we'll talk more about this in some of our 7 reasons here today. There is a good reason that we could possibly think of online services as being co-equal, if you will, to in-person services. I guess you could say I'm on the fence on that. I think that there's all kinds of challenges that poses of how we disciple people in these ways. And if it's as easy to disciple people in online formats as it is in in-person formats, but that's for another podcast. We'll tackle that then. Why don't I kick it off here? I'll hit the first reason why you should keep doing your church services online, even if you're doing in-person services. Number one is you've already made the financial investment. I think that's not getting back. You're not getting that money back. You can't sell it for what you paid for it. You've put out probably a lot of money when the pandemic started. What we've seen is that most churches at the start of the pandemic, they made a big investment in video equipment, audio equipment, lighting equipment for making a studio. In lots of cases, it's tens of thousands of of dollars that we're talking about that churches have invested in this year. And I just hate the idea of that being something that was used for 10, 12 months, and then it just kind of goes away and doesn't serve a purpose anymore. So I think that you've made the investment. It makes sense to keep on going with this here. There is value to it, value in it to some people for sure. So yeah, the investment's already been made. So it's a sunk cost. So keep doing it. What do you have to add?
Yeah, totally agree. And I think the thing to also keep in mind is even pre-pandemic, live streaming and better production was already getting churches results.
Absolutely.
So that was something that was already working. And actually, even when churches were fully in person, we've heard this over the years, Thomas, right? How many stories of someone watching online, maybe even for a month, and then they finally, because the teaching was speaking to them and they felt comfortable, they finally came in person.
Yeah.
So it's something that was already getting churches results. But yeah, absolutely. You've already made the investment. I talked to a church a couple weeks ago that told me, and this was a small mainline older church that spent $90,000in just tech upgrades for all of the things that you just mentioned. And so why would you want to throw that away? You may as well keep doing a great job of that. It's going to enhance your virtual only experience, but also your in-person experience for the example I just gave you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think all I'd say, I think it probably makes sense for most churches to continue to invest in this area, because we think that the online is just as valuable today as it was during the pandemic. I think that there's this new world that we're living in. We talk about the digital default church, where this is where people will always encounter you first. If you don't think that they're watching part of your service before they show up for the first time in person, even for those that will show up in person, I think you have another thing coming. This is something that we probably ought to keep investing in, not just because it's already been sunk. I think it's something we keep going on.
Yeah. And that's a good segue to the second one. I'll tackle that, that results tend to snowball over time. So the reason to keep doing it is to measure things over an extended period of time. We've been preaching this to churches for a while with all things marketing and web. You know, it is a marathon and not a sprint.
That's right.
The same thing will be said for your online services, is that even if you've seen a drop off, because we've seen over the last, you know, I guess even a little over a month, as churches have started to meet more in person, that their online viewing has gone down.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it's not going to spike at another time and continue to grow. And like you said, snowball. So this is something that you want to measure over an extended time, just like all things, right? I mean, all things that you're tracking, whether or not that's baptisms, salvations, whatever it is, it's not something that you just want to look at for only the weekend of Easter, how many baptisms you had or new members or whatever. So, I think that's one thing to keep in mind.
I think we got really the perfect storm with the pandemic. So what happened for so many churches is that they had this huge influx of people watching online for the first time. And that's never really happened before in the history of like doing online content creation of any kind. So like the normal process is you put out a video, YouTube, or you put out video content, you put out blog, any kind of content creation, you put it out. And like three people watch it usually. You know, you have two people read this. Your mom and your friends are the ones that are looking at this stuff because you ask them to. And then after you do it consistently for 10 weeks, maybe five people watch it. And then after you do it consistently for 6 months, maybe 100 people are watching it, or 40 people are watching it. And that's all wins. But what happened with churches during the pandemic is that we got this huge influx. Is week one, they're doing it for the first time. They have 150 people watching their services right out of the gate, when this is their first time ever doing online services. And that's a huge win. But what was so disheartening is that we had to go from that, the first time you did it, you have your highest numbers in a lot of cases. And then we saw the slow dwindle. And my encouragement to pastors and church leaders listening to this right now is that don't let that get you down. I think this is something that was a weird phenomenon that was God ordained. And I believe God had his hand all over that. But the reality is they were always going to come down when in-person options weren't available and people had to watch online. And so expect now that now you're going to have to do the hard part. You're going to have to do the consistency where your numbers don't really change. Like even this right. podcast, it's something where the first couple of episodes we did, we had like, you know, five people listen the first week. And, yeah. you know, now we have hundreds of people listen every week. And it's yeah. something that it makes a really big impact. It's kind of a consistency thing that needs to yeah. keep taking place here. So if you're one of those hundreds of people, thank you for being part of the Reach Right family. That means a lot Absolutely. To us. But yeah, stay encouraged with this. Your results will snowball, but this is not, we're not talking about weeks. We're talking about, you can't just look at 3 months and see how it went.
Right.
Plan on doing this for the next 3, 4, 5 years, and yeah. then take a big picture measurement of how things have gone. And I am very confident you'll see growth over time in those things, if the content is good, of course.
That's good. So yeah.
That's what really yeah. matters.
Definitely. So,
well, let me hit number three.
Next one. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get that. Number three is you need to keep doing online services because you will reach people you would never reach in person. I can tell you just about every church tells us a story of someone who lives in another country or
yeah.
Hundreds of miles away that has been consistently and faithfully watching yeah. week in and week out to their church services. These are people that would never have been reached if you were not doing online services. And this is something yeah. that has always been true. Nothing yeah. to do with the pandemic. We've heard these right. stories for years and years.
Yeah.
And I think it's really powerful. I'm convinced that when we have this great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, I feel like this is the way that we'll be able to do that. I'm all for world missions and actually going to third world countries, but I can't tell you how many times I hear people from third world countries are hearing yeah. the gospel, sometimes for the first time, because yeah. they're getting onto a church's website here in the United States or some English-speaking country that we serve here. So it's pretty amazing to see that. So what do you have to add?
Oh, you just reminded me of what I heard years ago. We're talking, I heard this probably 8 years ago from a pastor that was so excited about getting his sermons on his website and getting video up there. He said that a guy wrote in from Afghanistan saying that, thank you so much for your messages. I was watching the last 2 weeks and in my apartment, and my friend who was a Christian ended up baptizing me in the bathtub so that we didn't get stoned or put to death out in public, because obviously he was in an area that was very anti Christianity and so on. But that was like the biggest news that was the biggest blessing to that pastor, was even though this guy would never be a physical member,
right.
he accepted Christ, and that happened because of doing online services. So,
yeah.
So you think about those guys, you think about, you know, people out of state, maybe, and then you think about like that shut in person. Of course, we've seen that for years
yeah.
that, you know, that older person that just can't physically come, and then people that will continue to, you know, like you said, remain virtual and maybe prefer that.
I think there was, yeah. maybe you remember this. I think there was a time where we were worried that shut-ins wouldn't be able to handle the technology that goes along with this. I think
yeah.
that's kind of, I think that, the generation now that is getting older, getting up there in the years, yeah. maybe don't have the kind of mobility that they used to have. They are kind of people that still use technology in the workplace at the end of their careers and a lot of times. And so, I don't know, I think we've been doing this for so long, Ian, that like yeah. 12 years ago, you know, people yeah. that were shut-ins, they needed to have cassette tapes delivered to them and that kind of stuff. But that's not the case anymore. Would you
no.
agree?
Yeah, my father-in-law has a smartphone. Now, he had a flip phone up until about a year and a half ago, and then uh-huh. my wife taught him how to use his smartphone. And now, not only is he doing all sorts of stuff on his smartphone, he follows my son's baseball games when he can't physically come see that from an app that gives the score and play-by-play. So he's religiously following that on an app. So
yeah.
And he's in his late 70s. So
there you go. Yeah, so I think anybody...
Yeah, there you go.
Anybody can do it nowadays. That's good. So hit number four.
But yeah, the next generation wants online options. So let's just transition yeah. from the older demographic we were just talking about to the younger one. I mean, we know that it still is the case that the younger generation will rely upon technology more than the older generation, for sure. And so that's definitely, you know, hasn't changed, even though
right.
The older demographic's following much more and doing much more online. But they're going to want that option. You know, they're used to media from the fingertips on their phone all day long, whether or not it's social media, and so on. I think they're going to want to prefer this. We also know now the younger generation does not attend physical church regularly. And this was pre-pandemic again.
Yeah.
Maybe twice a month was considered a committed member. And a lot of that would be the millennials and Gen Zers that maybe came that often. And they're going to want to catch that message maybe from their phone on the weekend they couldn't make it or whatever.
Yeah, I caught an episode of Church Pulse Weekly, a great podcast out there. I caught an episode a couple of weeks ago where they talked about there was the younger the generation, the less likely they are to attend church in person. We knew that already. Mm-hmm. That was, the boomers attend more than Gen X attends more than the millennials attends more than Gen Z. And it was the exact inverse when they talked about openness to online services, to going to church online. Gen Z was very open to it. Millennials were somewhat. Gen Xers were kind of open to it. Boomers generally not very open to the idea of going to online services there. So I think that there is if you're serious about reaching the next generation, having options for them to connect and make connection online, I think that really makes a lot of sense. Now, we'll be the first to tell you that if you're experience is completely online, then, you need to give people options. I think Gen Z, especially millennials, they are looking for places to connect with real people, a lot of times in smaller groups. So you need to have these things in place for them. But an online Sunday morning experience, I really think there's nothing wrong with that. It's something we should pursue for people. So they're very open to it.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
That's good.
Number five, let me hit that one. In-person attenders want options when they're away. So people that would normally come, they would want to be there on Sunday mornings. They are traveling more and more nowadays. You and I both have kids that are in sports that used to be when we were kids, sports didn't happen on Sundays. It was for church and not the case anymore, right? So especially when you get in
this weekend on Sunday.
Exactly. Yeah. So same kind of stuff that we're experiencing. Well, when sports come back post-pandemic for us here in Hawaii, but we expect to be back in that place soon. But there's all kinds of reasons for it. I've seen people kind of suggest that while good attendance used to be missing maybe one or two weeks a year, missing one or two weeks a month is still good attendance. If you're only showing up two or three times a month, that's great attendance for a lot of people in churches nowadays because of all the options and commitments and things that happen and travel and all that stuff there. So what is great is online options lets people stay connected when they cannot be there for whatever reason that is. And I think that's just becoming more and more valuable.
Yeah. And not much more to add there, just that I think that just giving the option is good. People are traveling. We're in the summertime right now, right? So there's vacations. Pre-pandemic years ago, we would have churches that would really want to get online services going, particularly in the summer, and getting their website up to date because that's when people are traveling. And so there's all kinds of reasons, and why not have the flexibility and the options? I mean, to be able to give people that because they need it. They need it for convenience and everything else. And I can't see there being any harm in that. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Good. So six here I'll get to, and that's that people can have a genuine life-giving relationship online. And so here's where we could get a little bit, I don't know if controversial is the right. There could be a lot of difference in opinion on this. I consider myself more old school, like I said, and want to be, I'd love to fellowship in person. I like to go to church in person, even though I use technology regularly. And I think you and I both would prefer that. And there's just more to that. But I mean, I've made friends online. That's completely normal now, to where if someone finds me through a friend of a friend on Facebook or whatever, and I've communicated with them online and maintain some closeness, even though I consider it probably not the same as a personal relationship.
Yeah.
How long has it been since you and I have seen each other in person?
4 years, maybe something like that. We've been face to face. It's been a while.
It would have been a year less had the pandemic not hit, but we, that's right. We live in different states and we had a lot of, even, but we have these kind of Zoom and Slack meetings on a regular basis. And man, I can tell you, I still feel just as close to you as I did when we were living in the same city and neighborhoods that backed up against one another.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on that. I think that there is this idea that I will say that it's harder probably. Yeah. We have to think more outside of the box, I think, to get people connected and get them into life-changing, life-giving relationships online. But they're happening all the time. And this may sound weird, and I'm you know, this is we're evangelical Christians, so take that into consideration when we say this. But I look at all of the growth that we've seen in the LGBT community and people. I've noticed that a lot of the connection that people that are in that community, that they make that connection in online communities, right? Sure. So people talk about making major life decisions, like, you know, as much as, you know, giving your life to Jesus is a huge a huge decision you have to make. Changing your gender is a huge decision that some people, that again, we're evangelical Christians, right. So we're not in agreement with that. But I will say that a lot of these people have found the support and the guts, I guess, to make that kind of life decision in online communities. And right. I think that just kind of shows you a lot of these people are very young. So I'm seeing all the time younger people that are kind of confused and going through some of these kinds of transitions in their life. It's really interesting to me to see the way that they have kind of surrounded each other in online communities. So I think that there's something to learn, especially the way young people connect. You cannot tell me that they're not getting life-giving, life-changing, foundational relationships. Yeah. They're not happening in online communities nowadays. So I think that there's a lot that we can grow in this. And so that should be an encouragement to us that the potential is out there. Now, I am not saying that if you just put 90 minutes of content online once a week, that you're going to be able to create real life-giving relationships and life change. It needs to be more thought out than that. But I think that if we are willing to pay the price and go deep on this and really work hard at building online communities, this can be done. It was a perfect example what you said, you and I and our relationship, and I think our whole team at ReachRight. I haven't seen anybody on our team at ReachRight in person in at least since the pandemic, but I haven't felt like we've missed a beat with our relationship at all. So it's something that I think churches can really run with, but you really need to be intentional about it and find ways to have regular communication. Here's the one thing that I found. I heard this from Tim Keller. It was really interesting. He was commenting on how the online format as it is today, it's really good for top-down communication. So pastor preaching to large groups of people, but it's not great for this kind of relationship, the interactive side of things. And that's where so much of the life of the church happens, right? Like it's one thing, you listen to your pastor. I know you go to a large church and you listen to your pastor and he gives great messages. You have a great worship experience. But to really grow, it's what happens in small groups. It's what happens in the foyer. It's the interactions you have in children's ministry. It's that thing that when we were kids, or when I was a kid, that we would stick around at church after church for like 45 minutes every time. Yeah. And I would be begging my mom, let's go, please. I'm so tired of being, I want to eat lunch. And mom would be stuck talking to everybody there at church because that's just the way that it is. So that's not as easy online. Like, because you don't have that time that people can hang out, and it's not as comfortable usually to type it into the chat. Hey, how are you doing today? And like kind of doing a type fest back and forth there. So there's lots of challenges, but I don't want the church leaders that we serve to throw this out and dismiss online relationships as being second class to in-person relationships. I think that this is something we probably need to really think through. And we haven't found that perfect model to do this just yet. So, all right, rant over. That's all I have to say about that.
Good. I have a couple of just examples that came to mind. No, that's all good stuff you shared, Thomas. But so first of all, you know, my daughter's 12. And she does a bit of online gaming, plays Minecraft. Yeah. And we're of course careful, with, you know, we want to understand and know who she's connecting with, but this is something where people can join from all over the place. Like, so she has someone that she feels close to in the UK, that she'll probably never see,
right,
but they join regularly and know stuff about each other. Now, again, you, as a parent and everything, you should be very careful to know who's on there. And we all know there's some danger there and all of that. So that's a whole nother topic, but, and we're careful about that. But the interesting thing is that, you know, and while we, you know, everything in moderation is how we roll, right? So we make sure that she doesn't sacrifice her in-person relationships, her friends that are in the neighborhood or that she goes to school with, for these online relationships. And so there's a balance to all of this, but I, the other example that came to mind is the same thing with my son who plays Fortnite. He was playing with a guy, a kid that lived probably 30 minutes away from us. And he's 10.
Yeah.
And so he's playing with this guy, and they for months were playing. And then all of a sudden, as things started to loosen up out of the pandemic, this was over the pandemic, him and this other little buddy of his, they wanted to meet in person. So they hadn't met before, you're saying? They had not met before.
Wow.
And then they ended up wanting to actually schedule a play date to swim. And they did that. And it was a really interesting thing. So on the flip side, yes, you can have genuine relationships that are life-giving online. But I did think it was interesting that even a 10-year-old kid and these kids that are in virtual La La Land these days still wanted that personal, you know, even with being online, wanted to try to connect in person.
Yeah.
So I think it is, that's still telling.
That's well said. I'm still there too. Like, so I'm still totally there. I desperately cannot wait to have a Sunday morning worship experience at our church again. We're very excited about that. I just know that there are, I think, especially for people that don't have a history of being involved in church, or they don't have a relationship with Jesus, this is a much more approachable place. And maybe there's going to be people that have their initial life-giving community happen online. That could be a possibility. I don't see a lot of good examples of that happening all the time consistently yet, but I think that really is the future for a lot of churches right now. So
we can, one last thing I'll say to that end is I gave non-church examples with my kids and everything. So what you just said, I think, is a really good thing to close on this point, is that it is different when people are, like you said, if someone is unchurched or they maybe haven't been to church in a while, there's a lot more apprehension that they have to get physically connected to a church compared to playing an online video game.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
You know, it's a different story when we're talking about God and spirituality. So I think that's a good, I'm glad you touched upon that. But the examples we gave, the non-church examples, still show how this relationship building can happen.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right, let me finish us off with number 7. Online services, they actually level the playing field for smaller churches.
Yeah.
And let me explain what I mean by this is that there's so much that that money can bring to a church experience and larger churches. I know your church, I'm sure, when you guys just built that amazing building you put up there. And I don't know what the sticker price on that was, but it was
a lot.
Millions and millions of dollars, right? But money that most churches won't ever see. And it makes for a really great in-person experience, whereas smaller churches can sometimes, you know, they can do things with smaller budgets, and there's all kinds of ways to do that. But there are a lot of just limitations when you're a smaller church and resources that you lack, that doing an in-person service, it can be really hard. You turn that all on its head when you get into online services is for smaller churches, you know, you already made some kind of an investment in this, and really you can produce really great content that can be life-giving on a very small budget. There's fantastic YouTubers out there that are able to create great YouTube content that have just their phones that they're doing it with, or they're just using a small DSLR camera. They have $1,500 of camera equipment and sound equipment. Yeah. And they're doing the whole thing off of that. Now, you know, it takes a certain level of talent to do that kind of stuff. And that's something that we all need to grow in, is getting better at talking to cameras. I know you and I have grown at that in this time doing the podcast. We didn't do a lot of camera talk like this here. And so it's been something that everybody can grow in. But it really does serve this purpose of it makes it so that smaller churches can have just the same level of reach as some of the largest churches in the world. And I think that's really something to be excited about. What do you have to add?
It's really neat also to think about how many churches I spoke to over the pandemic. Like we heard, we had the pleasure here at Reach Right of working during that season with a lot of smaller aging congregations that right. had never invested in an online presence or whether it be a website or just being visible online or like we're talking about online services, and they came out of the woodwork because they realized they had to have it now. And so it was great for us to be able to help these smaller churches that needed to grow more than churches like mine, you know, and we've helped churches like mine too. We love every Absolutely. Size church. But during that season, we heard and worked with more smaller churches. And the neat thing was that these pastors that started, they started getting so excited when they all of a sudden, maybe before, if they were doing online, they had like 10 people maybe watching online in a week, if that. And then they skyrocketed to like 250 people following them. And that's a big number for a small church.
Absolutely.
All of a sudden you got, and then it made, you know, that used to be only for the you know, the big mega sized churches or the big personality, the big mega sized pastors and preachers out there that do preach great. We're all for that. But for these smaller churches, they were on a level playing field, especially if the production quality was good and they weren't just throwing something up there. But the excitement for that kind of growth was just great to hear from these smaller churches we got to work with.
Yeah, I've never pastored a large church, I wouldn't say. And so I know that for me, we've always, in the churches I've pastored, we've always really focused on online options. We've done in-person options and we've never been huge there, but online, it's really amazing the kind of impact you can make. I shared before about how we've had blog posts that I wrote years ago at the last church that I pastored that have reached like hundreds of thousands of people at this point with the message of Jesus. And so it's really incredible that you can have that kind of impact. That's just a blog post. That's not even a video or any of that kind of content. You just hit the right sermon. Now, there's lots of blog posts and videos we did that only 100 people saw. So it's not to say that every single one's going to be a home run, but if you get that good piece of content, even a very small church can have an enormous, enormous reach. And that just tends, like we said before, it tends to snowball over time. So as you continue to do that, you'll see even more results. So anything to add as we close, Ian?
No. I think hopefully this was helpful to a lot of pastors, ministry leaders out there and our listeners. I think it just is an encouragement because we are transitioning right now into this post-pandemic and thank God for churches coming back in person and things getting a little more back to normal. And so we're very excited about that. But I think this is hopefully timely for many pastors that are considering, oh, well, how much do we, you know, continue to invest or do with online? And I think hopefully we've encouraged pastors to keep that up.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to finish on is just if you are looking at your results right now and it looks like it's been kind of a downward slope since March of last year when you started doing online services for the first time, you're looking at too short of a time horizon. Don't judge your results based on, you know, where you were and how it's only been going down. Really have a longer time horizon because I assure you that online is not going away. That the desire for online services, especially for younger people, is only going to grow as time goes on here. So you can't look at 1 year of results and say we tried it, it didn't work, it just kept going down. Have a longer time horizon, and I believe the results are out there for a lot of our audience here. So I hope that's been an encouragement to you guys today. If this conversation has been helpful, it would mean so much to us if you would rate, review, subscribe, give us a comment, give us a share. That's how we get the word out about this podcast. Thank you so much for being a part of our Reach Right family, and we will catch you guys next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.